You're listening to Mystic Falls Memories of the Vampire Diaries Rewatch Podcast. I'm Maddie, and my co-host Jen joins me as we take a deep dive into the ships we adore and all of the crazy drama surrounding Mystic Falls.
Miss Maddie.
Hello.
Hello.
We're back.
I'm a little like, this will be interesting because we're doing a lot of episodes. So we gotta see how this goes.
Yeah, I think this was a lot of episodes to kind of cram in one, but we'll see how it goes. And also, it's been a few days since we've rewatched, but.
Right. But we know this stuff. We've watched this show before. We know.
So, what episode
are
we doing, Maddie?
And
we are doing 102 to 105. So basically all of the Elena doesn't know about, like, the supernatural stuff, just kind of getting that out of the way.
The slowest of the slow of the Vampire Diaries episodes, I feel.
For real, though. Like, I think they couldn't have gone an episode more without dealing with it.
I know. Because I was like, oh, man. And even at this amount of episodes, given the fact that
it's still borderline, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, okay, it's really only episode 5 in the season, which when you think of a 22-episode season, that's like nothing. You're clearly still in, you know, the A side of the season. But, like, it's absolutely ridiculous that Elena doesn't start piecing this together sooner. I'm like, oh, my God, how many times does this 700 vamp out? It's like, this is ridiculous. And also, like,
I think, like, 103, like, once Tanner, like, dies and it's once again, like, drained of blood type thing, should kind of piece it out. And that Stefan, like, healed so quickly. But then when she sees Caroline, like, it should click.
Yeah, like, put the math together. Okay, so, we'll go one by one.
Let's just get into it, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so 102, how hilarious.
They still had the motif of, like, the starting off with
Damon East
basically doing a Scream opening, basically.
Yeah, I don't know what Kevin Williamson's whole thing was with that. It's like, hey, I got to remind people that I wrote Scream, and so we're going to do, like, this whole horror movie thing. And, like, it worked in the pilot, but repeating it in episode 2, I kind of thought was unnecessary. Also, Damon murders a lot of people.
Like, a lot.
We just glaze over that for a long time. I'm like, wow, he was, like, a legit serial killer in the town. Okay, but here's my
There's a lot too. That Damon does in these here's episodes that gets glazed over.
So problematic.
We're going to get to it.
Is his humanity switch on or off? Because, like, he's all about searching for Catherine, right? So he has to have it on.
Yeah, I think it's still on.
Is it like a dimmer switch? I don't know. It makes me uncomfortable that his humanity switch is on. And I think it is on. Like, that's the thing. I think there was never a time where spoiler alert, where you ever see Damon with it off. Like, that's what's so scary. With Damon. He does evil things with the switch on.
Because it's like you get the flashback of when he turned it off in the 50s, but then you don't like really get to like live
it back on. Yeah.
I'm
just very confused. I feel like they leave there's a lot of like gray area. Vampire Diaries is clear as mud sometimes. It's just like, okay, we're just not going to talk about this. All right. This is not going to be a thing. Okay.
The lore and the rules change week to week.
Right. Exactly. Okay. I have to say, I love Ian in these early episodes.
Because he is going for it.
It's just like, I got this fucking part, and I'm going to make it my own. It's like, he's just reveling in how awesome Damon is. And Damon...
It's not just chewing the scenery, it's making like a 5-course meal with baked Alaska flambé.
Like, poor Paul. Paul just wants to, like, not be serious. And Ian just gets to do all the fun. I mean, it's pretty... He gets all the great lines.
Like, I literally fist bump with the iconic of, like, that's for me to know and for you to... Dot, dot, dot.
That's such a great line. I remember when I was watching it, I was like, oh, that's a good line.
It's also, it's such a screenwritery line of like that, like, you know, whenever they figured out that line, that as soon as they like typed it out, they like literally fist pumped. It's like, yeah, that's going to be awesome.
That was amazing. Okay, I wrote down.
But on the inverse of like, there's great lines like that, but then like some of Elena's monologues are so screenwritery that like it's not how people talk.
Okay, you're just like, I hate. I'm gonna like confess, I don't like Elena that much in 102. Like, I
no, know it's because it's we talked and it was epic, but then the sun came up and reality set in. Oh my gosh,
it's like the worst monologue to a first kiss that I have ever seen in my life. It's just so much cheese factor. And also, they kiss really fast. I'm like, whoa, I forgot they kissed in episode 2. I kind of thought it was like 3 or 4. But I like, this is my, what I, this is like one of my problems with Selena is like they get together so fast. And like the
actors, there's no build.
It's like, yeah, there's not a lot of build. You're just like, oh, and I get it, they're love at first sight and whatever, but I mean, but then on the
but comparatively, side, like Buffy and Angel, you had several episodes before a first kiss. Like, it was like 7 yes. or something.
Yes. And it wasn't like, it wasn't a kiss like, hey, we're together. It was kind of like a, well, this is problematic that we have the hots for each other, but we're going to kiss and then like, I'll see you around. It's kind of like that. Like, you were never really sure, like, Buffy and, I wasn't sure on Buffy and Angel's status until like well into season 2. Like, I would say, I would
like
say,
are y'all a thing?
Yeah, I didn't know if he was her boyfriend until I think she fought Kendra and called him her boyfriend. I was like, is he your boyfriend? I mean, that was like, what's my
have
line
you had the DTR?
Yeah, I was like, that's like the one, what's my line 1 and 2. And like, even before that, he asked her, do you love me? And I'm like, whoa, when did we get to this step? I was like, we're on do you love me? I don't think you guys have even had coffee yet. In fact, there's an entire episode about how Angel won't ask Buffy out for coffee. It's there,
like, movies are at night. Go out for a movie.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I'm very confused. 16-year-old me was confused. So, like, I appreciate that Stefan and Elena are a little bit more upfront about it. But also, you gotta reel back the cheese factor, Kevin Williamson. It's like he's like, it's like a combination of like bad Dawson's Creek. You know how cheesy yeah. Dawson's Creek was? I mean, it's like, for he real. Has to like, it's bad. There's something about his first seasons where Kevin Williamson just like has no chill. Also, Stefan's a terrible liar. I forgot how bad.
So bad.
It's really bad. Like, I was like, oh, Stefan covers well. Right?
You know, we always joke about how Oliver Queen in like season 1 is terrible at like the cover stories and stuff, but who is the worst liar, Oliver or Stefan?
Oh, Stefan. Because like Oliver is, it's funny when Oliver does it. When Stefan does it, it's just like he's just lying to Elena and he's lying badly to Elena. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, when Oliver lied to Felicity, it was like kind of charming. And she was clearly in knowing that he was lying. But Elena yeah. is like, oh yeah, you know, there's nothing in his eye. He's fine. Oh God. Like the whole book scene where they're like trading books and being all cute. And she's just like, oh, where did you get the original Wuthering Heights from? And he's like, oh, you know, it's passed down in my family. I'm like, you know, Steph, this whole in my family shtick is only going to last so long. But it works. I mean, it lasts like 5 episodes and she eats it up. So. But on the flip side, I mean, if you were staring at Paul Wesley, would you have a difficult
time? It's so true. Because I love how poor Matt is like, you said like you needed time and you weren't ready for a relationship. But as soon as Stefan with Paul Wesley's beautiful face shows up, Lena's like, okay, dead friends are thing in the past.
Blue eyes, Maddie Blue Eyes, I love you. But Paul Wesley is a hot train that Elena needs to jump on. That's all I'm going to say. Like, he has smolder. It's like the Salvatore boys, there's passion and a hotness there. Then Matt's just wholesome. You can't sleep with Matt. He's wholesome. You just want to look at him.
He's a golden retriever puppy. Like, you just want to cuddle him.
Right. It's kind of like, I don't know. I like, spoiler alert, I like him with Caroline later on. I was surprised that I liked him with Caroline later on. But, yeah, I don't know. Matt's just kind of asexual to me sometimes. He's just really pretty. And sweet. He's a puppy.
It's the only instance of a Barry Allen comparison, and only that. Because...
Yes, but like, it's like he's not as asexual as Barry Allen. Like, Barry Allen, I cannot fathom having sex. Matt, I absolutely believe he has sex. I just don't want to have sex with him. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, cool. All right.
And Matt Donovan would never mess up the time stream. Like,
no, he would not. He would also not murder babies. I'm glad my husband is in the room, because every time I say Barry Allen murdered that baby, he murdered Sarah Diggle, Nick like just can't listen. He starts yelling at me. He's like, no, he didn't. I'm like, yes, he did.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so Elena was creepy in her monologues. Okay, her creepy introduction to Damon.
Yes, with the stupid crow. With the
crow and the door.
Okay. So I was joking because watching these episodes recently, I was driving home from work yesterday and there was like a flurry of like blackbirds or crows that like were flying like too close for comfort to my car. Right. I was just like, go away, Damon. I don't need this.
Pick a theme with the birds. Is the birds going to stay? Is the bird going to go? I just need to know. It stresses me out. And I just like,
I think they decided they're like, no, we don't really want to have to deal with birds all the time, because like, you avoid animals in a television show when you can.
And like,
we don't need this to be a regular thing.
My other thing, it's like, okay, we're supposed to be scared of Damon. We're like supposed to be scared that he's going to eat Elena. Except you know he's not going to. Like, you know
exactly. He's not.
It's like, this isn't a concern. And then the second part where he drops Catherine in, it's like so heavy-handed. I'm like, oh, okay, show. And it's just like, and like the way Elena like falls for it, he's like, you know, it's been a while since the last one. And then he's like, oh, we haven't had the awkward ex talk. It's just like, it's like cheesy dialogue the whole damn time.
Okay. And I was going to get to this in like the later episodes, but whenever they talk about like Catherine and stuff, that there's just so much of, oh, it was a long time ago. It was a long time ago. Stefan, your cover story right now is that you're 17. So a long time ago is like,
Like, seriously. And Damon's 22.
Did you take Catherine to the Sadie Hawkins dance in seventh grade? Right. Like,
was it a ninth grade thing? Like, what? I'm like, no one's questioning Damon's or Stefan's age here. Like, what did you date her, like, 8 years ago? Like, were you in kindergarten together? Can you pick a timeline for me? It's so weird. And also, why is your 22-year-old brother fighting over girls with his 17-year-old brother?
These are all questions
Elena should be asking.
Because when Elena figures out, when she's like, which one do you named her first? And you're like, that should be a red flag.
Right. Like, there's just issues there. Okay. I really like your comments about gravity.
Yes. So, like, you always talk about fast forward to the future of, like, Elena and Damon's big love confession scene at the end of 4, that you talk about how that song doesn't fit for a big love moment.
It doesn't, and it's also my favorite song of all time, so it just pisses me off to no end that my no-TP got it. It's more of my issue. But yes, go chuckle. On.
But conversely, that on like a Stelena standpoint, I guess it's just they're going for a vibe and not actually paying attention to the words, but like...
song. I hate that song. I'm totally with you.
Gravity isn't a first kiss song.
No, it's like, it's depressing. Like, it's, I guess it's like about, oh, like... I don't know. It's been a while.
But it's in like a toxic relationship where you just need to like get out of it. Because she's talking about like, set me free, but like, I'm still like attracted to you, but this is bad. Okay. So
yeah, that's not a first kiss song. Also, I guess they like were like, well, it has gravity in it. And like, Stefan and Elena are like, gravity. And like,
literally like the line is like, you're keeping me down is when they kiss. That's
I'm like, that's not a positive.
It's not a positive.
A negative. No, I hate that song. In fact, I would say most of Stelena's songs that they get for like that are not instrumental, but that they get for their big whatever, if they're going to use pop music, I almost hate all of them. I think the only one I really was like, yes, we finally got a great song was Stay, Rihanna's Stay in season four when they were dancing. The lyrics made sense. It was like fantastic. It was hot. But yeah,
so we'll get to Delana got the best moments of like use of like pop song type thing was
the Florence and the Machine song in, is it 220 or 320 when they're at the motel?
Yes, that is by far the best. That is like the best music moment, I would say, in the whole show. Like, they nailed the song choice for that moment.
Even and it's like choreographed to the beats of it. You're just it's like
Nina and Ian, like, they like practiced and like measured their kissing speed with like the speed of the song. I'm like, how do you do that? Is that like a thing actors do? Like, let me listen to the song and then I'll like match my tongue to the beat. That was impressive.
Like, was there an 8 count to this? Like,
I feel like maybe it was someone who, like, Julie Pleck was behind the scenes clapping or something, a beat. You never know.
And tones.
Yes. And go. All right, did we cover 102?
I think that kind of covers 102. And so, and then we get into 103, which is one of the most high school-y episodes, which it's kind of like, you're like, aw, remember when they actually focus on them being in school? Like,
yeah, like, I wish I was more, I like Stefan and Alita more when they exit out of all this high school bullshit. Like, after she finds out he's a vampire, then the show gets cooking and they do less of this high school nonsense. And Stefan can just be like regular, hi, I'm a vampire.
Except for the 60 billion dances in Paris. Right. That Mystic Falls has.
The dances, though. Can't take away my dances. That's like Stelena, like classic moments. Can't take them from me. But yeah. The football, Stefan, and the cheesy football throw with Tyler and the whole football team and Elena.
Okay,
and
you just forget that Tyler is just the worst.
Oh, my God, right? I was like, was he really? He is really an asshole.
So bad. Like,
it's really bad. Like, we had the really hyper, like, really super bad, like, consent issue with
Vicky in the pilot. Woods.
Yeah, and then, like...
And then he's just a terrible friend to, like, precious boy Matt, and you're like, right. The frack.
Why is Matt friends with this asshole? It just doesn't make any sense. And then, like, he's in this whole fight with Jeremy over Vicky. I'm sorry, can somebody explain...
This to love me? Triangle, you're just like, ugh.
I know it's that, but what's the appeal of Vicky? Because I don't see it. I never liked her. I was like, why are we fighting over her? I'm not understanding. Can you explain it, Maddie? What's the thing with Vicky?
Like, she has good hair, and hair. Like, I think the implication is just the fact that, like, why, like, a guy like Tyler would go out for her, even though she isn't in, like, the cool kids circle, is just the fact that it's, like, clear that she's down to, like, have sex and stuff, so it's, like, an easy
that
target.
Makes it pretty popular with boys in high school if you're willing to have sex.
Exactly.
That makes you pretty popular with guys, hetero guys, I mean, of all ages.
And then Jeremy then gets her in, like, the druggy circle, so then it's, like, which, like, the stoner versus the jock is...
Who am I really? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, we're gonna have to get into this, because this is, like, this episode has, like, triggered, like, seriously emotional and just really intense fights on YouTube. It's the whole Caroline and Damon sleeping together, but he's compelling her, which makes for some really big problems with consent and makes the scenes pretty rapey.
So bad.
So it's not like, this is what I don't like about the Vampire Diaries. It's like, and I think part of this is like the show. It was a different time when it was being
made. It was a different time, and right, the CW just like, handled this stuff differently.
Like the stuff that they do in this show in the early days, you could never get away with, I don't feel, in this day and age. But
100% no.
It's just so bad. And
it's so bad, and it's so clear. It's like, how did we not see this or interpret it this way?
Right. It's kind of scary how, like, most of us just kind of rolled with it. And it's not until, like, later on when you get into, like, the heavy ship wars where somebody was like, hey, remember when he raped Caroline? I'm like, wait, when did that happen? I'm like, oh, in retrospect,
actually.
I was like, okay. So, like, and they never, and I know Julie Pleck has been asked about this a dozen times, and all of their answers, I can't remember all of them, but they were all super cringe. Like, it was not, they were not good answers. It was kind of
because
like,
there's no good answer because.
Right, it's like, it's kind of like, well, yeah, she wanted to have sex with him, but also, it's fine. Vampires you know, compelling people. They're vampires. They can do whatever they want. It's not real. It's like, except, you know, like, you know, there's like roofing girls, and like, you can make an easy parallel to like, you know, some pretty not great
situations. You have a massive platform, and even though,
and it's a teen show, and maybe we just don't do a rape thing.
And like,
do
you
we
knew...
have to have him going down on her and then vamping out? Do we have to do that? Is that a thing we have to do?
And like, we already knew at this point, even though it's far off, that like, Damon is going to be one of the romantic leads of the show.
Right. Like, that's,
so it's like, that's, you know, problem. That at some point he's going to be like the love interest of the heroine. So you, right, can make him bad, but you shouldn't make do something that's so irredeemable that is like, no.
I mean, here's the problem. And this is always the problem with the Vampire Diaries, is the morality scale is sketch. Because
it's super sketch.
That you talk about is a terrible person. I love Stefan, and he's a horrible person. Like, he's a he is literally a serial killer. Like, he rips people's heads off. That's not okay, Stefan. You can't do that. So it's not like I'm saying,
but like, it's good, or some of the stuff of like this in particular of versus just like, you know, eating people and stuff.
Eating people, right?
I but that's like part of like being a vampire. That it's, right, just, you just like have to get on board.
Exactly, exactly. It's like, you're watching a show about vampires. You know that they eat people. You know they drink blood. You know, it's like they're all murderers. It's kind of like, but it, and that part of it, that's not a real thing. Like, people don't really drain blood. I know people kill people. I get that, but I think the problem that I have with this scene with Caroline
is the deal is Damon doesn't have to do this.
Right. There's nothing there that requires him to be doing this. And he's doing it because he enjoys it. This is what is fun for him. And that is so deeply disturbing on multiple levels. And then to turn around and I got to root for Elena to fall for this guy. I'm just kind of like, and I was always pissed off all eight seasons with everybody being up Caroline's ass for not liking Damon. And I'm like, the dude raped her. She's good with the whole not liking Damon. Not everybody has to be, oh, but he's changed. You can be like, no, the thing that you did to me was heinous and I hate you. Like, that's cool.
For the rest of eternity.
Right. I would be buddy with my rapist. Sorry. I mean, it's just, and people are going to get so mad that I'm calling Damon a rapist, but I really don't know what else to call it.
It is like, it's just kind of true. And as someone who has shipped Elena for long periods and stuff, I'm a bit more ambivalent as the years have gone by, but like, it was like my ship for a while. Part of it was, sometimes when you're watching television, you, in order to like keep enjoying a show, if you realize that like, this is how the writers feel on a certain issue, that you just have to either just accept that they care or care about something and move on.
Right.
So it's like, this is a gray area and all that.
He doesn't just do it with Caroline. And like,
yeah, because he does it with Andy too.
Yeah. And like, this is part of his vampire motif. He compels, and like, it's sexual and it's a whole thing. This is just,
but like,
part of the,
it was one of those of, since the writers like glossed over it and like didn't really care, that just in order to enjoy the show, I kind of,
right, you gotta let it go. Exactly.
Had to compartmentalize.
And it's tough too, because like, you can, again, this is why I say it's a problem, because anybody can come to me and be like, well, Stefan did this, and I'm like, yeah, all true. Like, the sooner you get on board with everybody being a horrible person except Matt, the sooner you'll find peace while watching the Vampire Diaries. That's kind of like, by the time I got to season 4, and I think actually
Matt and Jen are the only precious people that like didn't do anything wrong.
I think Bonnie even kind of has like her little dance on the dark side. You know, I'm just kind of like, once, I mean, Stefan and Caroline actually have a conversation about it. Like, we're all horrible people. So you're like, yeah. So again, you're not watching this show for a morality lesson, is all I'm saying. But it does. This is really one of the more cringy, and I think it's really soon. And it's really fast. You haven't gotten to know the characters. It's very tricky. I was like, immediately, like, no.
And it's just with him. What makes it just so wrong in retrospect is it's so tropey of like how it's framed, is because Caroline is blonde and vapid that. It's basically okay that she's the one that's like, falls prey to this.
Well, I also feel like they framed it in a way where she wants
because she's desperate
with Damon. No, she not even desperate, but she wanted to have sex with Damon. So there was an initial consent that she wanted to have sex with Damon, which maybe this is that's the way it started. And that
because the first time, yes, the first time,
right? That initial
girl saw Damon in a bar and was like, "Let's go."
Right. She wants to have sex. I get that, but like,
every time after that.
Right. Saying yes one time does not mean you say yes to all the other times. Like, you have to get consent each time. And clearly, when he vamped out and she screamed, I would say that's a fairly definitive no.
That's when the
that's when you
consent stop. Is revoked. Yeah.
Then consent is revoked. When the girl is screaming, that's a no. Just a little PSA for all of you people out there. So yeah, and they just kind of glaze over it. And it's just like, and I mean, they kind of, like, there's a little bit of dealing with it.
And the payoff once Caroline turns is you just get one scene that, like, she pushes him really hard down a hallway and says, "You suck." And that's it.
That's so lame. That's so lame. And I'm like, that's it. She should literally plunge a stake in his heart. Like, seriously, there should have been a stake battle.
Okay, so side note, there's a fanfic where Klaus shows up earlier in season two and like coaches Caroline into killing Damon, and like it's like, "I'll show you how to rip out a heart," and it's actually kind of really great, and you're like, well, that could have happened, but yeah. Alas, that wasn't her actual show.
No, that would have been good though.
Although that would be a great shocker if like season two episode two, like, Damon dies, bam, like,
I mean,
wow,
been, like, amazing. I would have been fine with that. Okay, question. This is really bothering me, and since
okay, shoot,
younger and hipper, why do they all have messenger bags for
they were
backpacks?
Cool.
When was this cool? I was birthing a baby, so I don't remember, but like, isn't it uncomfortable to carry your bags like that?
Like kind of, but it's also the same concept of like, I don't know when it clicks, but like sometime in middle school, it's no longer cool to carry a backpack on two straps, you know? So you always carry it on one. Mm. And it's essentially same concept.
I don't know. Both straps were okay with my crew, but back in the...
No, it like it
back
hits
in
some
the day.
I was somewhere that then it becomes like day. You look too little kiddish having like both straps like together.
Guess,
so you like sling it on one shoulder to look cool.
That's true, but also like they're so long, they're like practically draining on the floor. I'm like, how is that functional? It really is very distracting for me.
Yeah, and it was like they were like at Abercrombie and like Pottery Barn teen and stuff like that.
All right, okay. This is like the episode where Stefan is good with dates and it makes Elena hot. She's like, "Ooh, he knows when the Civil War is. I'm totally gonna do him." It's great. I love it. I love it so much.
The scenes in him in the classroom, just like, because it just so doesn't fit. Because not only is it like Stefan's ancient and stuff, but you can just tell Paul is an adult. Like, Paul has never looked like a teenager. And you're just like, that's an adult man. He pays taxes.
Yes. He has a 401k. It's fully funded. No, I swear to God. The other thing that cracks me up about those scenes is, okay, Stefan's getting, like, this is the scene to make Stefan look cool because he's going to, like, get one up on the teacher. But it's hilarious to me because Stefan's completely paranoid about Elena knowing that he's a vampire. So, like, this whole date thing, like, he totally goes into it, like, I'm going to, like, show this guy up because I'm amazing because I'm a vampire and live through all this shit. And I'm like, this doesn't concern you that this is unusual behavior? No, it doesn't. He's like, oh, Elena
no,
likes
he's
this.
Just a savant, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, oh, Elena likes dates. Well, I'll show you some dates. You're like, oh, Stefan. Like, his, like, Elena and Stefan's, like, sexual mating process is very, it's very nerdy.
Kind of, you keep a journal,
oh, you
and
a
you're
journal.
Good with dates.
You've read Wuthering Heights. I know when the Civil War took place and ended, and the Korean War. It's like, oh my God, we're meant for each other. It's like, okay. Okay. The other thing that really the other thing that really bothered me about this episode, and I say this as a person who does not care about football and I don't watch it, and like, my mother tried so hard to teach me football, and like, I know I'm not an idiot, I know football, like, I know the basics and I know how the game is played,
I know, like, yeah,
but there's nothing
it's I grew
Stefan
up in
is doing footballish wise that looks impressive to me during the practice. Remember when Buffy ice skated And we were supposed to pretend like Sarah Michelle Gellar's ice skating was really impressive, and it wasn't. It's kind of like that. It's like Paul Wesley's football skills really don't look that impressive on screen.
Yeah. And that's when you're like, you just need like a body double, like if you can't actually do it, it's okay.
Yeah. Okay, what else are we talking about? I feel like we skipped over some of your stuff.
Cause then, speaking of like the football-y stuff, that like with the cheerleading thing, Nina is so awkward and is like really bad at the cheer choreo. Cause I know part of it is it's supposed to be like, oh, it's been a while for Elena and she's like out of practice and stuff, but also it's just, you can tell that like Nina can't dance. Like,
yeah, like there's definitely, I remember that Nina Dobrev videotaped Candace Akula and Kat Graham dancing. They like,
and they, like they class. Can like dance
those girls,
yeah,
can move, like they have had training, they are amazing, and Nina's just videoing them. She's like, I can't do this, and that is a true story. She can't dance very well, so
because she's just all lanky and awkward, and you're like,
yeah, she's just all legs. It's not a bad thing. I'd kill for those legs, but there's a lot of legs.
It kind of reminds me of when I was at that age, so I like that kind of high school time frame. There was one summer where I literally grew like 5 or 6 inches, and so in like, well, in like a 3 to 4 month span. So I was just all like legs and arms and stuff. And my older sister nicknamed me the awkward giraffe because she's like, it's like, you know, when like a baby giraffe is trying to get a drink of water and they're all like, yes, limbs everywhere.
That's honestly the stage Lauren is at a little bit. She's just a lot of leg and that's a lot of arms and there's a lot of torso. She's just so long everywhere. So
it stays like that for a little bit, yeah.
But like the Irish dancing is good because it's just like, it's like pogo stick jumping up and down. So like it requires a different kind of coordination. Like she's not great with running and like actually like dance coordination where like it would be like hip hop or something, I think she would have trouble with. But because she has like these legs that are built like steel, she's really good at the Irish dancing. But yeah.
Oh my gosh, my failed attempts at hip hop classes. They were.
Did you do the hip hop dancing? Were you that girl? No.
I tried. I did Christian hip hop dancing, which is.
Oh, Maddie. I'm going to ask your mother for those videos someday because I want to entertain myself.
There are no videos because I wasn't good enough to like be in the main things. But alas, that's another story, another day. So then we get into.
Oh, this was the episode that Elena.
With the awkward dinner date, yeah.
Yes, the dinner date, yes. Where she doesn't cook, but she does cook. And like.
So like she orders takeout and just like shoves it all into the bowls, which.
So like Bonnie's whole
reason. But then how about right? You're like, it's pasta.
Right.
Like.
Right. Like.
Myself cooking challenge, like you can make
pasta. Can you boil
boil water and brown hamburger meat and buy some sauce. There we go.
Some kind of a pasta and you are heading into an adult life. You ain't prepared, children. You need to learn how to make a pasta meal because it will be your sustenance. I think it's a little rando because they kind of make Bonnie the show itself is on Team Vampire. So they put Bonnie on anti-vampire team, which automatically puts her kind of at odds with the audience. So Bonnie isn't always that likable, even though Bonnie is right. So like Bonnie has felt like death. She saw death with Seven, which is fair because he's dead.
Because a lot of death happens because the Salvatore showed up in Mystic Falls. Right. So
and he killed a lot of people. So like that is a fair and accurate description of Stefan. And Stefan is the first one to admit that because he's totally wigging out that Bonnie's got like his number. He's like, yeah, I'm dead. I kill a lot of people. I'm probably not the best boyfriend. So like Elena, like
she's like, oh, on, like that Bennett. Oh
yeah. Oh, like you're witchy Bennett. Okay. And then, like, it's cool because he's like, oh, but, like, Salem witches. And then he does, like, his whole history date thing that turns Elena on, except he tries to use it on Bonnie. And Bonnie kind of works. She's like, oh, yeah.
Okay.
Girls being turned by vampires on this show is a little too easy in season one. And then,
but, you know, Bonnie's intrigued. She's like, well, if you two ever need a third, like, basically, yeah.
It's like, And then Damon crashes with Caroline and he gets invited in. And Stefan's like in panic mode.
He's like the internal panic that Stefan has is just so palpable. It's great because he's just like,
no! Yes. I want to say Paul does a really great, because like, Stefan, the terrible liar, he's like, can't think of a lie fast enough. Can't think of a lie fast enough.
Can't do it. And, like, and he just wants to like blurt out like, yes, he's a vampire and can't let him in. But
Stefan knows his brother can't think that fast. So unless it's about dates.
It's like, we showed up with cake, so there we go. Everyone who shows up to your door with cake gets invited in.
And then, like, it's a super awkward way that Elena invites him in. She's like, oh, just come on in. Like, it's, like, a weird segue. Like, it sounded good. I feel like this is a thing that would sound okay when you type it out on a script, but then when an actor says it, when they're doing, like, the little, it just sound, it was, like, not in the same bantery, like, conversation flow. Maybe it was like a hard cut or something, but it was like a weird read of the line. It was weird. I didn't like it. Anyways, but I'm being really nitpicky.
Yeah, be like, come in, drop that off in the kitchen. Something like that. Like, but is are you, casual right, flow.
Right, come on in. Just come on in. It's like, it was not a good segue. Okay, but are you ready for me to say something positive about Damon and Elena?
Go for it.
Are you prepared? Okay, yes. The part where they're like talking about Catherine. And she's
this this first scene in the kitchen is like, you get it.
I was like, and she's like, oh, you lost her too, and stuff.
And he's like, just like floored.
And he's just like melty heart puddle. I'm like, aw. And I genuinely liked Elena. Like, I knew Elena didn't mean it like, I want to bang you, but like, it was a genuinely compassionate.
Like, she just cared. Yeah.
Right. Like, Elena's a very compassionate person. I feel like they try to sell this whole everyone loves Elena because she's Elena a little too hard. But, like, that's a genuine moment where you're like, Elena's good people.
Yeah, because, you
know,
like,
I buy it.
Even though, like, Damon's kind of sketch at this point still.
He's extra sketch.
But it's like, oh, someone you cared about died in a fire. I'm sorry. that's bad.
Right, exactly. Yes, we're both fed up with Vicky. I see this.
Also, just in this whole, like, evening where it's, like, a bunch of high school children with a 22-year-old and boys over and all of this. Where is Jenna? Like,
did you have dinner parties in high school? I did not.
Well, I didn't have friends, but so I.
Right. I watched.
Like, you would have to have friends first.
Right. We played foosball, watched movies, and played video games. That was my high school experience. Who the fuck cooks for their friends in high school? Who does that? You order a pizza and you call it a day. Like, why are they acting like they're 30-year-olds? I'm so confused. Okay, we're really both fed up with Vicky, so let's not talk about Vicky anymore. I really thought when Stefan breaks up the fight with Vicky, with Jeremy and Tyler, It was hot.
It was.
That's all I have to say. It was really hot. And, like, he, like, holds up his steel, like, hand against the glass and his hand cuts, and then, it peels.
And then he just, like, squeezes it. Like, heel.
And then he, like, brushes it off. And he was in the jersey. Yeah, it was all working for me. That was good.
The jersey hot. With the jeans. Like,
oh, it was a lot. I was like, Paul Wesley, contain yourself. It was just you're like sex.
I feel like such a stereotype for being, like, attracted to, like, a football jersey. But, it's like,
okay, we're all attracted to a football jersey. That's half the reason to watch a football game. I mean, right there.
Because I'm so minimally invested in football, so it, like, shouldn't even do anything, but it does.
It does.
Oh, come on.
Okay. It's just ingrained in us. We can't help it. So, like, I take offense when people are like, Paul Wesley isn't hot. Like, excuse yourself. Well,
that is false. Yeah.
That's just wrong. I feel like you and I are on the same page, that both sides of the ship, of the triangle, there's chemistry abounds on both sides.
It's not an issue where, like, for example, like, Jane the Virgin, that, you know, I never saw, like, sorry to Brett Deere, he's a very funny and engaging actor, but he just isn't to, like, the levels of hot that Justin Baldoni
right, is. Right, exactly. That's a perfect example, because people like to say Stelena is like Jane and Michael, and I disagree with that so much. It hurts my heart.
Because, like, Matt is like a Michael.
Michael.
Yeah.
Paul is just sex on a stick, and everybody just needs to respect it. I'm not saying that Ian isn't also sex on a stick. It's just the Salvatore brothers bring the hotness. Everyone can just, like, agree on this. They're pretty. In fact, 99% of my problem for Legacy...
Catherine had good taste.
Right. 99% of my problem on Legacy is that I don't think any of the guys are hot.
True. It's the moment when you realize they're all children and you're just like, oh.
I was like, I turned that on. I'm like, is this what 16-year-old boys are looking like? I was like, wow, I am way too old for this shit. And I moved on with my life. But, like, I think, what, Paul's, like, 25?
Because let's investigate, like, when he's at this point.
Yeah. Do some math for me. I feel like Paul Wesley's my age.
So, Paul Wesley's 38. So he was born
He is my age. When was he born?
82.
Oh, he's younger. I was October 81. When was he born?
July 1982.
Okay, so he would actually be a year younger than me. So he would technically be, he was class of 2001. I was class of 2000.
So he was 27 when he filmed this.
Okay, and he looks like a 27-year-old. Like, we're not pretending like Paul looks like a 17-year-old, right, guys?
No.
Doesn't look a thing like a 17-year-old. Okay, cool. That's all I needed to feel. All right. Okay, also...
Also the necklace. We get the necklace.
Okay. The necklace becomes very problematic for me later on because I personally feel some ship tried to Bogart it and make it into their thing when it's a Stellina thing, but we'll discuss that later down the line. This is an epic moment. It's totally, like, iconic when Stefan gives Elena the Vervain necklace. Now, the necklace itself, I think, is kind of ugly.
Wouldn't it's that agree? Hideous, yes.
None of the jewelry on the show is pretty. The rings are
And you're
pretty.
Like, there is pretty antique jewelry. Like, they right, didn't have completely hideous jewelry in the 1800s, but, like, they, like, this ain't it.
Did that design come from the book, or did some, like, weird, like, did some costume chick, like, be like, this looks pretty.
Because, like, it should just be, like, you know, like, the Victorian locket-y kind of, you know.
Right! Yeah! I thought,
like, it should be, like, a rose or something.
No, something. Like, I guess I kind of don't know what 1920s jewelry looked like. Maybe that was really the style.
No, because it didn't always have her vein. Because Catherine has it originally, because she has it in the old-timey photo.
No, that's not the same necklace. No, this is the necklace we got from Rebecca.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was Rebecca's necklace.
I thought it was all the same necklace.
A different one. No, okay. Catherine has her daylight necklace that she wears. So Catherine's daylight ring is a necklace. Then she made the boys their rings. And then Elena and Caroline have rings. So normally it's a ring, but Elena with Catherine, it's a necklace. But, like, the necklace comes from Rebecca.
The necklace is more practical. I respect the necklace of, like, because you can just put it on a long chain and it doesn't show and all that jazz.
I agree. I thought, you know, Catherine's smart.
Catherine has taste.
So I was a little disappointed with the way the necklace looked, but I grew to love it. It was fine. And it was just such a nice moment with the two of them. And you're just like, Stefan Salvatore is a smitten kitten and it's just adorable. Also, he's trying to prevent his girlfriend from getting raped by his brother. So that's sweet. That's a sweet thing to do. Which we put to the test later because he tries to kiss her after compelling her and she slaps him.
But also, kind of rewinding a little bit, he doesn't even realize, like, oh, I might need this until he sees that, like, Caroline is obviously under duress but does nothing. And
like, why isn't he handing out Vervain necklaces, like, right and left? You know what I mean? Like, why didn't he give Caroline one? Like, that would be a very easy. And I guess that kind of gets into, like, Stefan's grand plan for dealing with Damon, which I feel like he really didn't have one for way too long.
No, like, he needed to get the wheels turning on that.
Like, a lot of Stefan dealing with Damon is just not dealing with Damon and just, like, it's Stefan protecting his own ass and not protecting any of the innocent people, which ain't a good look.
For real.
That's what I was saying. But still the slapping of Damon. There should be more slapping of Damon. I am sad that there was not more slapping of Damon. There should have been a lot of slapping and we only got one.
But it's a good slap.
It's a really good slap. I was like, that a girl, Lena.
And he's also vaguely turned on by it. Which, let's be real.
All right, let's head to 104.
Oh, just the last thing real quick.
That's right. Yeah, I saw
there's a couple things. So Matt and Stefan become friends, and he, like, Matt apologizes for, like, being rude and stuff when he first signed up. And it's such a cute little bro moment. And you're like, aw. It's so sweet.
I wish they stayed besties. I would have been totally in favor.
Because Matt is just super nice, and Stefan realizes you're just a good person. Like, bless your heart.
Stefan's a good dude. Like, he's a good dude when he's not like binging on blood.
When he's not the Ripper. He's not the
Ripper. But yeah, I was like, those two should have been besties, and it really should have happened more. The Matt and Stefan.
It's so true. And so going back to like the true retrospective and stuff, I remember the Coach Tanner death, was such a big like,
was it a thing?
It was a thing of like, oh, this show's gonna go there, as far as like, you don't know when like a main character, not main, but
I felt like he was very secondary. So when I watched it, I wasn't like shocked that Damon killed.
Well, just teenage me was the scene just out of the blue, like when it went straight from like conversation to murder in like 2 seconds. Got and it. I was like, oh, okay, well, never know, like you can go that like Damon can just like kill people at a moment's notice. Right. And you're like, okay, like this is actually a serious threat.
Right. I agree.
And so
I think they do it better later on with another character, but we'll wait on that.
Tis true.
Tis true.
I think I know what you're referring to.
You think I'm going? You know where I'm headed with that? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now are we moving to 104?
Yes.
Okay. It's like has my one of my favorite Damon lines ever.
It is. It's so great.
This was John
Favreau. John Favreau's dude.
Dick move. And the way Ian says it, it's so classic.
It's iconic.
It's so great. It's just literally the best. It's one of the best dudes.
Also, it's hilarious because it's a black t-shirt, Damon. Like, get over
it. No, but like, Damon being OCD works for me. And he is seriously OCD. Like, he needs his shirt.
And he loves...
Yeah,
like he loves his brands. Like he's bougie. Like,
yeah, he's bougie. Exactly. It's just like I love that he's like such a prima donna. It's fantastic.
And it's kind of like
go ahead.
Because I think one of the like parallels to that line is fast forward to it's season 4 or 3 or 4. Once all of the other originals get undaggered and they're like basically destroying the place by kicking Klaus's butt, and at one point he just says, "I just finished redecorating."
Yes.
It's like it's priorities, so people. Fashion and home decor must not be harmed.
Right. I love when Damon's like
in our violence,
like people getting blood in his carpet, or like you know, use a coaster. Like there are just like some major OCD. I don't know if Ian put that stuff in there or if the writers did, but it's great. I love it that Damon is like a neat freak, and just don't mess with his clothes, don't mess with his hair, don't mess with his whiskey. Like keep his house pretty.
We have standards, people.
We do. I also love that he tells Stefan, "You're dead, dude. Get over it." That's such a great line. And then we have like the whole like. So then they start introducing Vervain
and all the Mystic Falls founders, whatnot.
The founders' power. Yeah, the Mystic Falls founders. And I like that
the billion founder society functions.
Oh
like,
my God.
There's so many like social functions in this tiny town.
This town is obsessed with their founding. Like, I've never seen a town more like uppity about, hey, we're a town that got founded.
I know.
Like, congratulations. So did another town. It's like, but we're Mystic Falls. It's like, yeah, that doesn't really mean anything. So I actually do really like this episode because it finally lets Stefan get one up on Damon. And that was a long time coming. Because it's basically been Stefan being a potato head around Damon and be like, what do I do? So like he tries to pretends he's going to try to roofie Damon when they're doing the whiskey and drink. And Damon's like, oh, you tried to roofie me. Now I'm mad. But that like takes his guard down and Stefan roofies Caroline with the vervain. Because he knows that Damon's probably going to kill Caroline eventually, and he drinks from her neck, and then he gets vervained. Which, when you think about the fact that Stefan was using Caroline
as like collateral,
literally as bait, she's literally chum to the shark. It's a little concerning on the morality scale. But then on the flip side, he
also has to phrase a earlier line: "Dick move."
dick move. It's like, but then on the flip side, it does save her life because he's not able to drain her of her blood.
Tis true.
So there's that.
But like, train of thought, come back to me. But it is very interesting as far as like leading up to this, that you have another scene of like Damon and Caroline of just like really upping the danger as far as like getting ready for the party and just seeing like, oh, he's like compelling her like all the time.
Yeah.
That it's just like mid conversation while he's being snarky about Twilight because they had to.
Right. You know? Right. The thing about that scene, I think Ian Somerhalder and Candace Ackley do such a great job in it. They have good chemistry. You know what I mean?
They do. Yeah.
The part where he grabs her and like tosses her on the bed very playfully and she's giggling and laughing. They're like genuinely enjoying each other's company. And she's just like, you know, you can be very charming when you want to be. And then it flips to, are you going to kill me soon? And he's like, yeah. It's so creepy.
It's chilling.
It's so creepy. I'm like, oh. I think a lot of my thing with shipping is I'm not a gradual fall in love with it over time. I very quickly make my decisions. I'm like, yes, I like this. No, I don't. On shipping. In fact, that was kind of one of my big problems on Arrow was I was like, oh, crap, I really like this ship that I don't think is going to ever happen. And the main one sucks. So, like, I think my main thing there is how characters are introduced has a very big bearing on my shipping preferences. So, like, you know, when you compare, like, you're like, oh, Jen, well, you love Buffy and Angel. But yeah, but when Angel was introduced to me, he was a good guy. He was really good guy, heroic. And that's the same thing with Stefan. Stefan is introduced as a good guy, not saying that he doesn't have the same morality or has the same issues that Damon. They're both bad, but he's introduced trying to be a good guy or is at least a better guy than Damon's acting right now. So I think that for me, and then like the initial introduction into Damon, I'm like, no, he's terrible. He's a terrible person. And I could just really, I know he changes, but that initial connection, I just could never change. It's very difficult for me to ever kind of erase.
No, it's going to be interesting of like what I do in terms of rewatching all of this, because like, Jen, I ship this so hard, like,
I know,
so
but,
freaking
like,
hard.
You like
but
the
like,
bad
I'm
not,
I'm now not at the point of,
I'm really not.
But like, bad boy within reason. So as far as like rewatching this, like, I'm that as far as Damon is basically irredeemable at this point, and because I've grown to love Caroline with like later seasons, that I have that retrospect. I'm just like, I just need like Klaus to show up and like murder
make
you.
Make it better.
And rip you out your heart and destroy you.
Yeah, it's really difficult.
But
really
then
difficult.
I'm like, but dang it. But also a lot of these scenes were very formulaic, like formulating in my experiences and how I like was first introduced to shipping and what I found attractive and all of that later on. And you're like, dang it, a lot of this still gets to me. But
I'm gonna like go psychology on you. I think for a lot of women, the bad boy is really great in fantasy. Okay, like when they do it in movies and television and books, it all looks really great. Like to date a guy who's a bad boy, but then if you actually date a guy who's a bad boy in real life, no, it's not good.
There's nothing there. Yeah.
So I think there's a romanticism to this bad boy aspect that women are attracted to via the fantasy of a television show, which I totally get that. I'm just not one of them. I tend to go for like my selfless heroes always falling on the sword kind of thing. Like I can deal with them going all evil if I know that they're good to start with. If they start off bad and eventually get good, I have a little bit more of a trouble with that. So it's kind of like I have rare shipping exceptions to that. Like, I guess you could kind of say Arrow, But I don't really, you know, Oliver's a bad boy, but he was very much doing the heroic save the city. And you knew he was a good guy. He was only killing bad people. So I was like, yeah, it's not a great example. I think maybe the only one I have is maybe like Raylo. But I didn't want Ray with Kylo Ren. I wanted her with Ben Solo. So.
These are valid points.
I'm just saying, this is like, and I'm not saying any of these are healthy choices. You guys should meet my husband. He's literally the nicest person on the planet. Like, nothing, like, none of the romantic shows that I watch, like, are representative of, like, real life marriage. Because you marry a good guy. Marry good guys.
Because it's like, it's so funny, like, my shipping preferences and stuff, but there's, like, so many bad boys, blah, 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 blah. And then there's Steve Rogers, because it's he's like, Steve Rogers.
He's like... He's
because like, how can you
the
not?
Best of all the, yeah, well, a lot of that's Chris Evans because he's just like a cupcake. Oh my God. Tell me you saw the Twitter. Tell me you saw it.
I did not see the actual pictures because it was like, well, it was unintentional. It wasn't actual true consent. So I did not partake. But I
just saw Twitter blowing up over it. And I got scared. I got scared because when Twitter like starts trending a name, you're like, oh God, did they sexually?
Oh, what did he do? Like, especially when a white man starts trending on Twitter, you're
right.
Just like,
you're like, don't ruin Chris Evans for me, Twitter.
Don't do it, please.
They didn't. And then his response to it, I thought was really hilarious. He was like, now that I have your attention, go vote. I was like, that was pretty good. That was pretty good.
Also, I love that his brother was like, hey, my phone was off this weekend. Like, anything interesting happened?
Okay, so this is also the episode that Elena finally clues in that Damon is an absolute psycho.
Like, Damon is bad. And
Damon's bad.
Oh, this is what I was going to talk about. That it's just, it's so interesting that they make these choices and stuff. And I know part of it, too, is just that they weren't expecting Caroline to be this big of a character. Like, I'm nearly certain that the writers were probably at this point in the series debating whether or not she was going to die at the end of season one.
Yeah, like, okay. Although... I mean, yeah, technically.
Because, like, well, yeah. But, yeah. Like, as far as whether she was just, like, an expendable collateral damage character. Because if you knew that, like, Caroline was going to stick around and be, like, a main character.
Caroline
that...
carried the show on her back. And it doesn't
yes.
get enough respect.
But, like, you wouldn't put these main characters to do this level of abuse and neglect to her. Because then... it makes your main characters like terrible friends and terrible people.
Yeah.
Because like, as we see in this episode, Elena knows that even it might not be like blood drinking and stuff, but like is physically abusing her best friend or
right.
well, one of her very, very good friends at this point that you can kind of tell Caroline is like the third in the triad that like both Caroline and, or I mean, both Elena and Bonnie are each other's best friends, and then they're both friends with Caroline, you know? It's that
yeah,
kind of...
Yeah, you feel bad for Caroline.
You
I mean,
do.
Like, their friendship, you know, and she said that later on, I'm your Bonnie backup, you know?
Yeah, because, like, if you think about it, the dinner party, Caroline wasn't originally invited. Like...
Yeah, it's awkward.
Yeah.
Like, Elena doesn't care if Caroline likes Stefan. She cares if Bonnie does. Like, that says everything about their friendship right there.
For real. And so, but it's just so fascinating of if you, like, it just shows that they didn't know where, like, Caroline was going as a character and, like, what they were doing with Damon and stuff of just why they didn't think this through. Because if Caroline was going, like, if they knew she was going to be this big, it makes Elena look terrible.
It does,
makes Stefan look terrible.
It does.
And obviously Damon the worst. So, like.
You're expecting the audience to not give a shit about Caroline. Because she's
exactly.
kind of vapid. And I'm like, yeah, that doesn't really typically happen. Typically with the vapid character, the audience tends to love the vapid character because they say what everyone's thinking. A la Cordelia.
Oh, there was one line in the earlier episodes when, you know, the girls are just having, like, brunch together. And, but it's, like, right after 102. And
right.
they're like, so you just talked.
It's right.
Like, and... Caroline has this best line of like, Elena, we're friends. Give us the smut. Like, and even though obviously our love of Caroline exponentially grew in later seasons, it's lines like that where you're like, this is why we love you. You're
there's
just...
potential there. There's potential.
There's potential.
I do like the end of 104 where Elena finally sees the bites and she confronts Damon and is like, stay away from Caroline, stay away from me, you're a lunatic.
Or like, I'm telling her mom, the sheriff.
Right, the effing sheriff, exactly.
And which, like, oh, outside God. Of vampires, that should, like, would be, like, proper threat and stuff, right. But.
Exactly. So, from that, and then she, you know, she comes running to Stefan, is like, hey, your brother's a lunatic, and Stefan's like, yeah, I know. She's like, wait a minute, you know? And you've done nothing for the last 4 episodes? And I'm like, preach it, girl. Let him have it. He's like, no, I'm going to handle it. I'm taking care of it. She's like,
what does handling it mean? Because right, once again, you're supposed to be a 17-year-old boy. Like, 17-year-olds don't handle anything. Like we're like, supposed to bring this to adults because...
Crystals at dawn? Like, could you clarify? Stefan is so fucking vague. And at least in this scene, in that scene, Elena's not taking the vague. And I was like, finally, you know? And he's still terrible in his explanations to her. At least she gets mad at him, which I'm like, that is completely deserved. So
because it is kind of deserved. And last thing I'll just kind of say is that since we know that eventually, like, Stefan and Caroline become love interests and stuff,
mm-hmm.
is once again the fact that this is just glossed over of, like, that there's never a single conversation of, like, hey, remember how your brother, like, assaulted me and you didn't really right. do anything, but now well, you're, like, getting married? That's
right. Or, like, remember when you used me as a blood bag bait to get your brother to stop abusing me? That was a little awkward. We're going to talk about that. I also think it's creepy in season 4 when they, like, have, like, they're having the big talk with Elena after the post-sex. And, like, the girls are hanging out, and Elena shoots back, you slept with him. And I'm like, whoa, let's not. And then Caroline was like, yeah, before I knew he was a psycho. And I'm like, are we going to talk about the thing? Are we going to talk about it? And then they just.
Because they had an opportunity to, like.
Yeah, I was like, let's talk about the consent issues on this show. I'm all for it. And then they just don't.
Because if there was ever a moment for, like, to actually bring up, like, a real grievance of why right. Caroline doesn't want Elena to be with Damon, right. it'd be like, because he freaking raped me. Like, yeah, that's like, why.
It would have been great for Elena.
That's a valid, like, reason for your, like, right. to be against who your friend is dating instead of just, like, a vague, I don't like him.
I don't like him. And, like a great example would be Caroline saying to Elena, quick question. When you were having sex with Damon and then he went down on you afterwards, did he vamp out and bite you and then compel you to forget it and make you into a human blood bag and then almost murder you? No. Well, that's good. But that's what's happened to me. And that's why I hate him. Just like a straight, this is what happened. Just even an acknowledgement.
Deal with it.
The
yeah.
The problem is if they acknowledge what Damon did, it's like everyone's supposed to forgive Damon. And if they acknowledge what he did, it's like, because he's nice to Elena. Like, we're just supposed to be cool with him because he's nice to Elena. I'm like, I don't know if I care about Elena.
Because, like, Elena has the magical main character syndrome of being able to, like, get away with anything. Right, and so like, then.
I can sleep with the guy who assaults
which
me.
Then right, that, like, right. the get out of jail free card is basically sexually transmitted. So right. if you're sleeping with Elena.
You do, Elena. I don't care if
you get Elena's magical shield of no consequences.
Yeah, I tell you what, I agree with you that they did not fully know what they were doing. I think they knew, like, oh, we're gonna redeem Damon down the line, but we're really gonna keep him dark and twisty in this season. This is gonna be the most evil you get, Damon. And I think they just made some character choices and having him do things to be like, look how evil he is, look how dangerous, to like make you scared of him. That were really bad ideas mm-hmm. because if you're planning on him being a romantic interest, he's one of the leads and a romantic interest to your female lead, like having him assault the other female characters isn't a good look. Let's just not do no. that. I don't know.
Not a good look.
Just a thought.
On a slightly sillier note that can we talk about, remember Logan Fell was a character? Like,
oh my God!
I saw and I was like, I completely forgot you existed.
The Logan Fell thing with Jenna pissed me off when I first watched it. Because Jenna's telling Elena what a fucking douchebag this guy is. And he cheated on her. And then, like, the guy offers her, like, he, like, gives her one, like, one smarmy once over. And he's like, how would I take you out for some cheese fries? And she's just like, yeah, let's do it. You get a dinner date. I'm like, what the? Like, seriously? Are you
Because like, all it takes is just, I was at your sister's funeral, which just shows that he's not completely trash, but still not great. Like, but
still not great. And, like, I just don't like the actor. I don't think he's cute. And I don't understand why they made Jenna fawn over this asshole. It was like, okay, let's give Jenna something to do. And we need an end to the Gilberts for the Founders Council thing. Okay. Do you find any of the Founders founding family shit interesting? Like, in all the seasons? Has it ever interested you?
No, because it's just, like, a nuisance. And then it just becomes, like, quaint once basically Damon infiltrates and completely takes it over. Because you're just, like, it's so just brilliant. Laughable. And then like Eliza shows up and it's to another level of, like, y'all don't even know.
The plot in season one, like, in terms of, like, big arc is boring as fuck for a really long time.
And also it's another thing where you realize you're like, the show's The Vampire Diaries, keyword vampires, and this is season one, so obviously the vampires aren't in danger.
It's like, you're not worried they're gonna kill anybody.
And, we've already just watched Damon kill so many people, so we're just like, you're not a threat at all. Like, this isn't
right, you're numb to Damon being evil by the time you get to episode 5. You're like, yeah, that's just Damon.
It's just like a buzzing mosquito. Like,
it's honestly, like, you're like, I can kind of see how Stefan's just like, you know, he's problematic. But like, squirrel blood ain't gonna get the job done. It's like, no, Stefan. Oh, okay. So that's 4. Are we done with 4?
Yeah, I think we're done with 4. Of just, we'll just quick caveat of just Jeremy's emo-ness. It's fine. Like, I get
we
it.
An
I get
hour and a half. We're good. Yeah. We're fine. Okay. Yeah. So now he has Damon trapped in the Salvatore prison, which questions about that. They have their own
dungeon. Yeah.
Dungeon downstairs.
Which they do frequently use throughout the series.
They use them, like, a lot. You're like, okay. I love Stefan's
line. Because I don't want to think about it too much because, like, you know, the Lockwood one, like, has, like, slavery ties. And you're like, is that related to that?
More problematic.
Once again, you're like, what's with all the vampire stuff relating to the Confederacy? Because you're just, like, you're just setting yourself up to, like, bring about uncomfortable questions that
we needed. Why did you guys insist on this being in the South? The book.
Why did this have to be Virginia? This could be Pennsylvania so easily.
Like, could you have done Rhode Island or something? Like, why does this have to be in the South?
Because you could avoid it so easily. When it's just like,
there's a lot of other states to pick from that weren't in the South during the Civil War. You could have, like, Damon, I don't know, live in the North and fight for the Union side. Just for thoughts and giggles. Okay, I do love that Damon,
because they're like, you're the CW, you're not prepared to be able to properly deal
with issues. Right. I do love that Damon's like, you know, how long am I gonna stay in here? And Stefan's like, in 50 years we can reevaluate. I'm like, I love that line. I'm like, yes, allowing Damon to desiccate for 50 years I feel is adequate punishment for sexual assault. We should do that to all of them.
You're here.
Jenna and her parenting is a disaster zone. As a parent, I can't watch Jenna. I can't. It hurts me. I just want to throw things at her. Like, just.
But you also get that she's like early 20s and like doesn't know what to do.
She wants to be their friend. That's the number one. Listen, the number one rule of parenting is you're not their friend. You're their parent. Kids don't need a friend. They have friends. They need a parent. And there is a very clear distinction. And you are their parent until they are old enough and wise enough. And
but, like, also, you could be transparent enough to be like, hey, like, the teachers, like, grilled me and stuff and basically implied that I'm not fit to, like, be your guardian. Right. So if you want me to keep being your guardian and not, like, deal with social services, then, like, we need to get shit together.
Like, yes, exactly. There's a very easy, in fact, I think they did this on Buffy. Dawn was acting like a shit and stealing things, and Dawn was giving Buffy a hard time, and finally Buffy just yelled at her, they're gonna take you away if you keep doing this crap. And then Dawn was like, oh fuck, like, don't mess with social services, people. It ain't a good idea. FBI and social services, don't fuck with that. But Jenna's approach is to like talk about, oh, I used to get high and I'm super cool. And then like she threw an apple at Jeremy and was like, you're grounded. And Jeremy just blows her off because nobody's taking Jenna seriously, including me.
So, bless Jenna. She didn't have a chance.
So Stefan's busy desiccating his brother, so he can't call Alina during the desiccation. I'm very confused about what's happening.
Exactly, because he's just desiccating, so he could still call, you could still text.
Like, is Stefan staring at him during the desiccation? Like, I'm very confused why this took Stefan 4 days to, like, not, like, he was vervained. Like, he's out of it. You could pick up a phone, Stefan. So Stefan, again, is just kind of being a dick. Stefan. But there is a line that gets used a lot later on when you're making anti-Elena videos is, I'm not going to be one of those pathetic girls whose world stops spinning because of some guy. And to which I say, give it 4 more seasons, sweetheart. Because that is exactly who you become.
Give it 2, like, honestly.
It's bad. It's bad. She is exactly one of those girls later on. And it's not good. Don't be one of those girls.
Because it's basically season 3 onward. That's Elena.
I feel like she does.
Like 3B, basically, from there on.
I feel like she functions okay when Stefan's Ripper, like, better. I would say it gets really, really bad in season 5. That's kind of where my brain
is. Yeah, it gets bad, but it starts in 3B, where it's like, she kind of is cool with the whole triangle situation of like,
yeah, it's also I'm just gonna flip the thing. It's problem. There's a whole lot of Alina is very problematic throughout the series. So, Stefan and his great, I hate lying to her, I'm
because that's another thing of like, is great in fantasy and stuff, but in real life would be super messy. Is love triangles in real life is like not a good thing.
It's not a good thing. It's really not a good thing. I don't even like friendship triangles where it's like there's like 3 females because there's always 1 female who's on the outside. You know what I mean? Like there's always 2. I don't even like that. I just like it in my television. I don't want it in like real life.
Which is ironic because all friend groups, it's always like in groups of like in units of 3, you know, in like TV shows and stuff.
Like sometimes there's units of 4 and 5 and sometimes there's 6. Think of Friends. They did well. Stefan complains about being terrible at lying to Elena because he's terrible at it, and it's the truest thing he's ever said, ever.
And we lose Zach Salvatore.
Oh, can we talk about Zach Salvatore for a second and what a fucking moron Zach Salvatore is? Okay, Stefan finally gets Damon roofied with vervain. He's desiccating in their jail, and Zach Salvatore walks his little ass downstairs
to gloat.
It's basically a gloat session. And also, it was like, I'm here to say goodbye, Uncle Damon. I'm like, you don't give a fuck about this guy. He's terrorized you your entire life. Why are you saying goodbye to him? And then Damon grabs him by the throat and almost kills him. And Stefan has to help him that time. And then we run into a whole, he ends up trying to save Caroline, which is really, okay. Okay. So Damon's in the prison and he's able to
like
mind control Caroline to come from the school fundraiser to the Salvatore house to let him out of the jail. Am I describing this series of events correctly?
Yes, because he like, well, first he like shows up as like a like ghost vision, essentially, where like she sees him.
Right.
And then, like, mind controls her while he's, like, depleted of blood and desiccating, but still powerful enough to, like, do this.
Right. It's one of those, again, it's like the crow and the fog and the mind control from a distance, they just drop. It is one of the worst plot devices I have ever seen in my life.
I think they decided it's like that's too much power to have for our characters, and like
it makes them like
make storytelling hard, because then you just wonder why doesn't Damon do this?
Right.
Solve this scenario.
Well, if Damon can get out of this, right, exactly. So Damon gets free.
Because like later the season when Uncle John shows up, like why doesn't Damon just convince Uncle John to like leave and never come back?
Exactly. Yeah. There's a lot of like, and also I would say the compelling, and there's a lot of like vamp speed and vamp hearing that they use selectively for certain situations. And then they forget like vampires have super hearing. Yeah. Like, they just, this show uses its plot devices and, like, ignores them.
Although,
they exist all the time.
Let me just say, my favorite instance in the whole show of, like, using the vamp super hearing is because when Catherine's pretending to be Elena in season 5, like, right after Caroline slept with Klaus, and they're at the party, and, like, Caroline convinces it, and, like, Catherine sees Tyler start to walk down the stairs, so she just, like, loudly says, "So tell me, what was it like having sex with Klaus?" Just, like, spells it out of, like, I know you can hear literally every word, but I'm gonna, like, over-enunciate and everything.
I love, my favorite superheroing one is when Damon's playing video games with Jeremy on the couch. I think this is season 2. And Jenna's,
no,
like,
wow. it's season 1, episode 13. Yeah.
Okay, we're going to get to it. Okay, and then Elena's like, he's super hot. And Damon's, like, smirking, and Elena's like, he's a dick. Like, then he gets all sad. It's pretty great. Okay.
I love that episode. It's coming up.
Right, so this is the episode where Elena...
So I think we should talk about Bonnie for a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I don't have, because through this whole time, Bonnie's kind of...
I don't have a thing on Bonnie. I don't even remember what Bonnie was doing. Oh, she was, like, witching.
Because Bonnie's kind of figuring out that, like, she's, like, actually a witch. And, her, you know, because we haven't met Grams yet, but they kind of imply that, like, she's a little bit of an alcoholic and,
oh, you're right,
a little
crazy. She, like, lights the hose on fire.
Yeah, so she, like, lights the hose, and then the car lights on fire because she gets in, like, this trance. And there's been other stuff in, like, previous episodes where, like, the numbers thing was kind of a premonition of Tanner's death, and there's been stuff leading to it where she's, like, slowly getting more and more freaked out, to the point where at this rate it all kind of comes to a head when she lights a car on fire with her brain, and it's just like,
because as you do,
as one does, and because Stefan's the one to shake her out of the trance, and she's like, did I do that?
Yeah,
that goes full Urkel. And but Stefan's like, yeah, you kind of did. And
but then, like
can you not tell people? And
right,
he's like, yeah,
but do Stefan and Bonnie talk about the fact that Stefan knows about witchcraft? No,
because she's, like, too freaked out. She's just thinking, right, can you not tell people I set the, like, car on,
sure,
fire with
you,
my brain? And he's like,
right,
yeah, we're cool.
We're cool. It's fine. Okay, can I talk
because,
about my,
like,
Selena now?
Yes, go for it.
Yeah. Okay. Because this is, like, one of my favorite episodes of them. Because Elena's like, I'm fucking fed up with your bullshit and your vagueness. And you just have to trust me. She's like, trust is earned, asshole. So Stefan finally is like, yeah, okay, I've been pretty, like, guarded. So he does this whole little cooking for her in the kitchen, which is adorbs. And, like, then he just starts, like, he just has a share all about me.
Oh, and,
like,
when he
monologue,
just, like, I can even make my own mozzarella. And you're like, okay.
Oh, Paul.
Chill,
calm
dude.
Calm down. It was such a perfect monologue until he does the Miley Cyrus thing. And I'm like, why do they have to be so cringy with their pop culture references on the show?
I even like that one Miley song, which,
like,
at the time would...
In there. It was a perfect monologue. And then they throw it on there. And it's like, oh, stop. Don't make Stefan say he likes Miley Cyrus. Just don't do it.
Well, like, you could have done something a little more timeless, as far as I understand, like, female pop diva, that, because Miley is super of that time, where he could,
like,
have said,
Madonna,
like, Britney or Beyonce,
or Britney. Yeah, I would have gone
where
with,
that's like,
I would have gone with Britney. If you're going to, yeah, go pop princess, go with Britney, not Miley Cyrus. Like, what the fuck?
Because
anyways,
basically it's indicating of that era that would be Party in the USA, which then it just creates a delightful headcanon of, you know, Paul just grooving out to Party in the USA, and it makes
exactly
my heart happy.
Like, not, okay. I was very much just enjoying Stefan's, like, I like Scorsese, I like Seinfeld, I love Lucy. I'm like, this is really good information. In fact, we never got this information about Damon. They never share this stuff about Damon. Like, Damon, what do you watch? What are your favorite books? Nothing. He's just hot. I'm like, okay.
He's hot, and he likes bourbon.
And he likes bourbon. That's literally the only character development that they give him.
Burden
so,
and sex, basically.
Yep. Selena's like, oh, that's super cute. And, like, Stefan, like, this is, like, one of my favorite Selena kisses, because, like, Stefan leans in to kiss her, but then he gets all nervous because he's like, maybe we're, like, not on, like, the kissing level anymore because you're going to dump me. And so then he kind of leans back, and then Elena leans in and kisses him. Like, she can see that he's nervous and they kiss. And, like, it's just really cute. I think Nina and Paul did such a good job with that scene.
No, I it's a really it. Cute scene.
They're super cute.
It shows why the ship works. Like,
yeah, it works. It does work.
I acknowledge it.
You gotta get rid of the cheesy lines, but in general.
And then you have the really cute moment at the car wash, too, which is adorable.
Right, where she's taking off
the shirt and it's like, it gets stuck.
Okay, I have so many questions. Because we've got Caroline in the bikini and the skirt. We've got Bonnie in the bikini and the skirt. And then they put Nina Dobrev in, like, this. What is over her bikini top?
So she has a Henley. And then she has. So first she has, like, a Henley shirt or, like, a hoodie or something.
She's got a hoodie. Which
that's long sleeve.
Hoodie, right, which is, like, difficult for her to take off. And she's like, oh, I'm not sexy. And Stefan's like, you are totally sexy and adorable. So it was sweet.
It is precious. Like, Nina's so adorable in that.
Nina's really cute.
And it's also because we've all been there where we've tried to, like, take off article clothing and it's just, like...
And it's not cute. It's just not cute.
And but you're, I'm like, trapped so in it.
I'm so confused.
What that, like, little thing. Top is.
What is the white thing? What is it?
It's, like, kind of a tank top that...
It's, like, a smock tank top meets a crop top.
Like, lacy like, situation. Like
bib. I don't understand. And I could tell... Maybe Nina just didn't want to show that much skin. And I get
well,
that.
What I'm thinking, it's, I don't know, less about the actress and stuff of well, that kind of input. I think she probably would have been fine with it. But also, girl, you're on the CW. Get on board. But, like, it's also kind of antiquated of, you know, like, this is our female lead paragon of virtue type thing. So she's not going to be in the bikini.
Yeah, a whore to me. Yeah, like, look at her. She's the virgin man.
Caroline's in a bikini, but not our precious
not
Elena.
Not Elena. Yeah, that's what I think that's.
Because she makes Stefan earn it, which you're just like.
Like, ugh.
Just put her in a bikini.
Games. Yeah. God forbid Elena wants sex. Okay, what else?
Because it's also, it's kind of their, like, big differential between, like, you know, Elena and Catherine. It's like. Catherine's all sexy.
Yeah, she's all sexy in dark clothes. Catherine wears black and Elena wears white. Do you see the difference?
Like, okay, she wears more eyeshadow.
Like. Yeah, and Elena's hair is straight and Catherine's hair is curly. It's like, oh, show. I love your superficial differentials between two characters that actually don't tell us anything. All right, so then we get the fireway mind control. So essentially what happens is Caroline lets Damon out. He kills Zach, but Caroline, running very, very slow, manages to get outside of the house before Damon can kill her because he doesn't have his daylight ring. So then he waits until darkness because who the fuck knows where Stefan is at this point. And Vicky is with her druggie friends, which Damon, like, kills all the druggie fans, and then he feeds on Vicky, and he kills Vicky. In fact, he bit Vicky so much in the first season, I actually didn't remember when he actually killed her.
Well, like, no, I don't think she's, like, dead yet, because in order to turn... You have to die with vampire blood in your system.
Oh, you're right. Just bit her again. Okay.
He just bit her again.
She's not dead yet, right?
No, she... Because that's next episode.
Is that the next episode? See, But do you know... Do you see what I mean? This guy feeds
But she's, like, lost so much blood from her.
I, like, seriously.
Diversify, dude. Like, you can't just keep biting the same girl.
I thought she was dead there. I thought that was the end of Vicky. But nope, it's not.
Well, it's just unconscious because then they have, like, the, like... Their dance party next episode.
Here's the thing I also don't understand about people who have been bitten by vampires. Like, for example, I guess he doesn't drain enough for her to die, but he drains enough for her to collapse and be unconscious. As a person who has had blood transfusions because of loss of blood, you actually need medical intervention in those situations. It's not like... I don't know. It's weird how, like, the show, like, just kind of glazes over that aspect. Like, when
because let's be real, if, like, she's taken some form of pills and has been drinking and then gets, like, blood drained and stuff, she's in a bad spot.
That's a medical,
like,
problem. Right. She needs a doctor. Like, for example, when Angel, spoiler alert for Buffy, when Angel bites Buffy, where does he bring her immediately? To the hospital where she can get a blood transfusion. And he yells at the doctors, she needs blood. we need a couple of these scenes on the Vampire Diaries. So I feel like the writers are acknowledging that there's a medical condition happening here that is emergent.
Bit of a problem.
I'm not going to get it, though, am I?
No, you're not.
No, I'm not.
All right. And you get, like, our last little bit, you kind of get Elena being all investigative of, like, which something's like up. Because you get this random dude at the diner who is like, I remember you from 1953. And
yep. It's just so lame. And then apparently the news station keeps archival footage. And we
from the 50s.
From the 50s. And we catch Stefan on camera. Like, given how well this show does sometimes with plot and plot twists and, like, the detail of the put-in, this is a particularly lame way for Elena to piece it all together. But at this point...
Exactly, because it's literally, like, enhance the image. Enhance.
Every time, I tell you what, every time, like,
Because let's be real, footage from 1950s newsreel, like, it would just be, like, a blob. You wouldn't be able to get him that far.
Right. Also, like, anytime, like, CSI or like they zoom in or like they have image software that can pull out faces, my husband
enhance
scream. He's like,
that's not
like,
how it works.
Like, that's not possible. Like, that is not a thing. Like, and every show uses this as a plot device.
Okay, you'll get to eventually. There's an episode of Community where they make fun of this because they do a tribute. Yes.
Amazing. I'm so excited.
And like Britta keeps zooming in on a photo and it just makes it worse.
I know. When you zoom in on them, it's more blurry. It's the pixel. Never mind. I can't even. All right. So Elena finally puts it together. So the big cliffhanger is Stefan finds out that Damon's loose.
Okay. Can we talk about once again, just because it's one of those moments where you remember that like actors, even though they look super athletic and stuff, they're all theater kids that weren't good at sports. Mm-hmm. And so like...
I have no idea where you're going with this, but continue. But...
Because, you know, Stefan thinks it's, like, going to be Damon at the door. So Paul does this little jaunty run that, like, you can tell, like, you don't run because it's, like, it doesn't look right. So he's doing this little run to the door that's so adorable, like, because it looks terrible.
Do you remember when... Robbie Amell had that whole Twitter thing blow up because of the way he threw a football.
Yes.
The Duff, and he was like really pissed about it because he had actually asked the director, could you just like let me follow through and actually not do this little flip thing, but they wouldn't let him do it. So like he literally went out, he made his wife Talia Ricci tape like video this of him showing that he can throw a football. I feel like maybe it might be that situation. Like it's an actory thing where you can't go full sprint but like joggy just do this weird little joggy thing, Paul, to like hit your mark. But I agree, it looks weird.
It looks so weird. So he swings the door open thinking it's like Damon because he has like a literal stake in his hand. And then it's right. What are you?
And like I wanted nothing more than Stefan to say Capricorn or the cusp of Aquarius, because that's what Buffy says to Riley when he asks her, what are you? It's kind of an insulting question. Bitch, who are you?
Like,
and then Stefan gets his, oh no.
Dang it. And then title card.
Like, there's a later conversation they have about this whole situation. Like, I think this is like season 5 or season 6. And Elena's like, how did you know you could tell me that you were a vampire and stuff? And was like, because I knew I could trust you. I'm like, that's not how it went down, kids. Elena found out and forced
you got caught
out of you, Stefan. It's not like you're like, let's sit down to coffee and I'll tell you how I'm a vampire of my own volition. No, it was forced out of you, you dipshit.
Because you're a terrible liar.
You're a terrible liar. I was like, there was no trust. In fact, the whole point of this situation is that Stefan doesn't seem to trust Elena, and Elena is sensing that. Or he's just demanding her trust without actually ponying up to the table. And share,
because even Matt's able to figure out you're hiding something, because he's right. Like, dude, whatever you're hiding, like Elena's gonna figure it out. So right.
Matt's like, just fess up. And he still doesn't. He doesn't listen to Matt. People who don't listen to Maddie Blue Eyes get bad things that happen to them. So I can't
exactly
like this whole Elena's like, how did you know you could trust me? Like he trusted you after, where he was like, okay, I'm gonna tell you all of the things now. and be completely honest with you. Yeah. Which is, okay, fine. I guess you get partial credit. But, like, let's not pretend like Stefan was, like, the truth bearer the whole time of the show. The guy was a lying liar with bad lying pants on that lied.
Pants on fire. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but this was one of the, like, I think one of the first episodes that really had one of the great, you know, big moment before the title card drop thing. That was like a gasp. And I'm like, can't wait for next week.
Listen, I was binging. I was watching. There was no waiting between 5 and 6. I just watched 6.
Yeah. That's probably why I had to wait a whole week
on Vicky, because I feel like my mental, like my memories of season one and like what actually.
Because this was one of the things that like first brought me to online fandom, because no one at my school was watching or like publicly acknowledged at least that they were watching Vampire Diaries at this time. So that's when I was like, I had a huge cliffhanger and a lot of feelings. And so I discovered Tumblr via this, because you had to talk about it with people.
None of that stuff was really available during my Buffy years. We had a message board that the WB constantly tried to shut down. That's how far things have gone in the other direction. You would have the networks would try to shut down fan sites because of copyright infringement all the time. In fact, if you were running a fan site and you got a cease and desist letter from the network, it was like a badge of honor. Like, you made it. So it was actually terrible, because you were constantly having to search for new fan websites because they got shut down. So I was always of the opinion, listen, these are your fans who are promoting your show for free. So it took about 10 years, but eventually the networks got on board with it. But
it's so funny of like rewatching some of these episodes. It just like took me straight back of like my fledgling fangirl experience.
Yep.
Because like I remember like going on to the CW like publicity site and stuff for when they would drop like production stills and stuff of like that as the tease, because I remember like 104 getting to see that orange dress and her little poof and stuff and like being excited.
I have a question.
Yes.
Did you print off the promotional photos and make a mural on your wall?
No, because remember, I was watching the show under the cover of darkness. That,
like, because everybody was pretty much, Jen's lost her mind about Buffy, but they became really actually concerned about me when they saw my room, because it was a mural of Buffy promotional photos.
That's fantastic. I support you on that.
My mom was so pissed at me because I moved out and I didn't take out. Well, I went to college and then they sold the house, so she had to take down the Buffy mural. I didn't do it before I went to college. And she took it down and I used tape. So it was like, literally, it was like it chipped the paint off. She had to repaint the wall. She's like, "Your freaking Buffy mural." I'm like, that was a work of art. I once asked my best friend about it. She's like, it wasn't actually the printing of the pictures that concerned me so much. It was the fact that you, she's like, you put a red border around them. Like, you would cut like red. It was just like,
that's spectacular. Yeah, I love that.
Scrapbook paper, and I was red, and I would like,
not to go all Alexis Rose, but love that journey for you.
Right. It was great. She's like, that was the part that really got me kind of concerned about you. I was like, I wanted it to be orderly and pretty, and they all had to flow. She's like, there are issues that you need to deal with. But I feel, yeah, about having to hide it in secret. I wasn't hiding Buffy, but my parents were a little afraid I was going to run away and join a cult or something because I was into a vampire show. My dad was literally like, because like they didn't know internet. Like, it was just such a different time. They were just like, what's the internet? They're like, what are you doing? Are you talking to pedophiles? I'm like, no.
No.
I just like a teen show.
Just talking about Sarah Michelle Gellar, why she's awesome and has pretty hair.
That's it. I'm like, it's really low level compared to other kids and problems you could have with kids. This isn't a problem. Don't be crabby at me about this. I think I literally yelled at them once, which was very brave because my parents were not parents you yelled at. I literally think I yelled. I'm a straight A student. I do everything you tell me to do. Just let me watch my freaking show. And my mom was like, yeah, that's fair.
Valid points were made.
We'll back
take
off.
The win.
And then I ran out of the room.
The most scandalous thing is she likes a vampire in a velvet blazer,
right? Like, and his leather pants. Yes. So true. So I feel so true. having to hide your fandom days. I find the whole Vampire Diaries fandom interesting because, like, I wasn't a part of it in, like, a real way until, like, season 3. And then I was kind of, like, I was on the side.
It was in the trenches. Like, until it was...
Oh, girl. Okay. Until it was back. See, I was the girl sending all the asks to all the Stelena blogs. You know how that people send me asks for Arrow? I was that girl. Because there was, like, some really good theorizing on the show. Like, that would have actually been better writing.
We'll kind of get into it, and I'll mention it later on, that my fandom journey, that it was kind of also the first time that basically the people that I, like, found of liking their takes and stuff on the show was also, like, WordPress blogs and stuff of groups of 30 to 40-something women that were, like, had done, you know, Buffy and Anne Rice and that whole jazz. Have been around the block, but did, like, funny like round table recaps and stuff.
Oh, and I loved those. They were so funny.
Like, that was my, like, step into, like, fandom and stuff, was, like, reading those voraciously. And, like, so listen,
if any person says that you cannot be in fandom after you are 30 or 40, they can step the fuck off. I don't want to hear it.
That's because they're the best. Is, like, fandom moms are great.
Listen, just because you're in your 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s, does that mean you stop living life and you stop having interests and you stop caring about stories? Like, this concept that this is only for teeny boppers is absolute nonsense. All being in fandom means you're a fan of something.
You enjoy a show.
And people act like it's, like, the weirdest thing. And I'm like, really? In fact, I love that Daniel Radcliffe comment, because they were asking, do people in, like, fandom, like, Harry Potter fandom, like,
does it weird you out or something?
And he's like, I don't know, people being obsessed with books is a lot better than, like,
books and movies. Like,
books and movies is a lot better than being, like, obsessed with heroin, as there are people I know who have that problem. I'm like, thank you. This is a fairly low level addiction. I mean, if that's what you're talking about, if it's addiction,
it's pretty, pretty chill.
Low level. It's pretty vanilla.
Like, we're good.
We're good. Okay, so what's next time?
We're just next time we're just focusing on one episode, so it's 106 Lost Girls. We're gonna get our first bit of Catherine and flashback wigs
and all the salvage and sweet Damon. Damon's a sweetie pie.
Like, sweet little puppy Damon.
He's like the fact that Damon is more Matt.
It's just a sensitive soft boy. Yeah.
Right. That human Damon is more Matt than Stefan is Matt is, like, a mind bender you can't get over.
And you're like, aw.
That's my tease for next week. You just have to turn into Ian Somerhalder being Matt. That's what it is.
There's some good stuff.
All right.
Well, all Jen, right. This was fun chatting.
Hey, we did, like, how many episodes did we do? We did, like, 5 in an hour and a half. That's good. I'm proud of us.
We did 4 episodes in an hour and a half.
We did 4 episodes? I don't count this late.
2, 3, 4,
okay,
5.
Okay, it was 4. Okay. Oh, that's right. We didn't do the pilot. Okay.
I know. We recorded this super late, so it was like Mystic Falls Memories.
Nice. I don't, yeah. It's like Baywatch Nights.
Baywatch Nights, where they had like the weird supernatural stuff. Like, there's a werewolf or something.
There's a werewolf on the beach. Oh, that show was awful. Oh, David Hasselhoff. I had the biggest crush on him when I was little. You don't understand. Knight Rider. Loved me some Knight Rider. And with that. Bye.
Bye. Thank you again for listening to Mystic Falls Memories. Make sure to subscribe and drop those 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, as they really help us out with our visibility. And don't forget to follow us over on Twitter on @MFMemoriesPod for updates on future episodes. Thanks again, and bye!